All right, John chapter 6 this evening. John chapter 6, Lord willing, we'll finish up here this evening. And I hope if you've been here, the study's been a help to you. We have seen some great things, I think, through these scriptures. But I believe it all comes to the climax of it all tonight. In these verses that we're going to read together this evening. Let's look together this evening, verse number 31. The Bible says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world." So let's pray. Father, we love you. God, I do thank you, Lord, once again, God, for your mercy, your grace. God, I'm glad tonight as we just sung. God, I'm glad I'm on a foundation, God, that'll never fall, never falter. And God, I just ask you tonight, God, Lord, to give us strength. God, I do ask, Lord, that, God, that you illuminate your word tonight. God, just pray, Lord, that you'll just be manifested through it. And God, we just thank you again for all you've done. We do pray for Brother John tonight. Just pray for his family. God, the need's there. Just pray, God, you'll comfort there. And God, Lord, we do pray for the lost. God, help us, Lord, God, to have a desire to see people saved in these days, Lord. And we sure thank you for what you do here for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. And again, I wanted to let you get set down before we read all of this. So let's just go back to these scriptures, and we're going to read the entire rest of that chapter together this evening. We read down there. Verse 33, "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." Well, I'm thankful for security tonight. "But should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give in my flesh is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" I'm glad it's a whosoever will. All can hear it. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Verse 67, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And again, I say tonight, to me, I know everybody's got partiality of scriptures that they feel like are mean a lot to them. As a preacher of the gospel, as knowing what the Lord has let us see tonight, I believe the latter of what we've read tonight is probably some of the greatest scriptures that the Lord gave us. And then on the other side of that is probably some of the most misunderstood scriptures that God has given us. And we're going to deal with some things tonight, and I don't like to draw in a lot of outside parts of religion and things. I try to keep it in-house the best I can, because I can't do anything about anybody out there. But the only thing I've got is a chance to help us to be what we need to be. So that's our goal tonight. So we're going to look at the controversial side of it. Then we're going to go back and just hit some scripture tonight as we look at this. What do you think? And we won't ask you to answer it, but I want you to answer it to yourself. What do you think is the controversy here? Now, most of us has been in church, a Baptist church, all your life. Some of you haven't. I know Brother Melvin came out of a Lutheran church. I don't know a whole lot about Lutheran's church, but I do know a little bit about that. But most people tonight, as we've read these scriptures, you've heard it preached many ways and many things. But again, out of these scriptures probably rises one of the most controversial religions of our day, and not just our day, one of the biggest religions in our world, and that's Catholicism. How do you get that, preacher? Well, again, the majority of us have never been to a Catholic church, have we? A few have. In Catholicism, they believe the literal sense of what we just read tonight, just as those disciples did, just as those Jews did. What do you mean, preacher? What did the Bible, what did the Lord tell these people? If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't have life. So many around the world, and again, probably this largest and strongest religion in the world, they believe, as they do this every time they go before that priest, they believe they're taking literal part of the flesh of Christ. They believe that that priest is able to pray and that wafer becomes the actual flesh of Christ. Oh, preacher, how could they believe that? That's what they've been taught. They believe that that cup that that priest has, when he prays, that it miraculously turns not to wine, but to the blood that Christ shed at Calvary. And they take that from these verses, and not just these verses, but these are the primary place that they people draw to when they think about that thought. So I want us to try to get the, you know, the biggest problem with error in the minds of people is taking scriptures out of context or taking a verse here and a verse there. You, as I told a man one time many years ago sitting at Freightliner in our office, I told him I could make the Bible say about anything I wanted to say. And I really could. I could pluck a verse from here or pluck a verse from there and make it sound, you know, and I could take the Bible and say, yeah, look here, that's, and the Lord said, you've got to eat my flesh and you've got to drink my blood. So tonight I want us to figure out what he meant by that. But first of all, I believe it pays to understand the context of what Christ is saying here. So look with me in verse 31. The Bible said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from where? Heaven. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from where? Heaven. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he. Now that's a verse that we looked at a little bit the last time we were together. The bread of God is what? God tells us, it's he. That's the reason he could say, I am the bread of life. For the bread of God is he which, notice, cometh down from where? Heaven. Verse 38. For I came down from where? Heaven. Look at verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from where? Heaven. Verse 50. The Bible says, this is the bread which cometh down from where? Heaven. Verse 51. The Bible says, I am the living bread which came down from where? Heaven. Verse 58. The Bible says, this is that bread which came down from where? Heaven. So Christ is talking about what? Something that came down from where? Heaven. Let's look at the next part of it. Verse number 40. What does it do? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Verse number 47. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse number 50, the Bible says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verse 58, the Bible says, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. The context is something come down from heaven. And if a man would eat what that came down from heaven, he would have what? Everlasting life. Let's look at a few more verses. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven. Verse 39. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse number 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 41. The Jews murmured in him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 42. The Bible says, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so is he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now, let's put the whole context together. He's talking about something coming down from where? Heaven. And if a person eats that comes down from heaven, they will have what? Everlasting life. Who is that? Jesus. That's the context of it. So how do we, and again, there's things in the Bible I have no idea how to explain. But there's a lot of things that we can't explain. So if you're talking to someone that truly believes that when they go before that priest and that priest makes some kind of gibberish noises that nobody else understands, and they offer you a wafer, and you've been taught that that wafer is this flesh, and he says another prayer, and he takes of that cup, and they believe that that truly becomes the blood of Christ, and because of that, you've eaten his flesh, and you've drinking the blood, that you have everlasting life. Well, that's what the Bible says. So how do you argue that? How do you tell someone that sees what we just read that doesn't know their Bible that we don't eat Christ? That we don't drink his blood? Y'all all right? We're going to get to that. But do you see the problem? Then how do you answer it? It says they must eat. They must drink. How do we explain that? Two places in the Bible tonight, and we won't turn there, but we'll turn some other places in a moment. Two places in the Bible, one in Deuteronomy, one in Acts chapter 15, God plainly tells us it's sin to eat human flesh and to drink human blood. So if a man eats the flesh and drinks the blood, the Bible says that's sin. So Christ would be a sinner, and the man that eats that flesh and drinks that blood would be a sinner. And Christ had no sin. Now, to me, that's enough to say, okay, that's good to me. But Again, put all the things in the right places. So what does it mean to eat and drink? It doesn't always mean what we think it means. Let's let the Bible tell us a little bit about what God says when it means to eat something or drink something. That makes sense to me. Go over to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8 this evening. What does it mean to eat and to drink? Verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 8 says, all the commandments which I commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, and ye that ye may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that ye might make know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. What's he saying? Man does not live by bread alone, physically. But by what? Every word. He's saying to eat the word. Let's see it again. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15, look at verse number 15. Jeremiah 15, 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoice of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. What did he say to eat? The word. What does it mean to eat and to drink Christ? Look over in Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2. Look in verse number 6. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I look, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll, a book was therein, and he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat thou that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. What's he talking about? Did the man of God literally tear the pages up and chew like a goat? Are y'all all right? We're not talking politics. We're talking church. God says, eat that book. Did he eat a book? No, what did he do? He read and read and consumed the Word of God. So what does it mean? It's literally to, as we would take flesh, as I did tonight, that poor chicken. I ate that chicken and I drank Diet Coke. And boy, it tasted really good to my tongue, and it filled my belly and satisfied my hunger. God is saying that we should take His Word and consume His Word in such the same way that as we eat the book, you know, the old saying, eat it up. That's what God says about eating and drinking. So let's go again back to John, and we'll go through some scriptures here in just a moment. But let's think again about, and again, this thought of Catholicism. They, every time that they have mass. They line up before a priest. That priest prays. They open their mouth and he places that wafer on their tongue. And they consume that wafer believing. They truly believe that that is the flesh of Christ. Why? Because Christ said, you got to eat my flesh. They take that cup and they drink it, believing that Christ's blood has miraculously turned into that blood. Week after 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 year after year after year after year after year, they go before a priest and a priest prays a prayer and places a wafer and a cup before them, and they believe that they have taken of what we've read in John chapter 6. And again, we ask, well, why would they do that? Well, again, that's what they have been taught. That's what they believe. And they have been told by the priest, this is the only way for you to be considered, and I don't want to use the word saved, but able to get to heaven. But does not the Bible tell us there, and I think it's the first part of Hebrews there, that Christ died once? He talks about those priests that come continually before the throne there in the tabernacle, and how year after year they had to go through that. But Christ died once for our sins, and he placed that blood on the mercy seat, and he sat down on the right hand of the Father. He'll never be sacrificed again. He'll never die again. So why do they do that? Again, I've not been per se into a true Catholic service, but I've been around a lot of Catholicism over my years. A Catholic believes, again, that that is the way to heaven. I better not ask that. When a person that's in the Catholic Church does something wrong or tries to get out of the Catholic Church, what does the priest tell that Catholic church, that Catholic member? They're going to withhold communion. You ever heard that? They're going to hold them from being able to take communion. Well, that means in their belief that they're not able to take of the flesh and drink of the blood. So they won't be able to go to heaven. What does that do? That gives a lot of power to who? Those priests. That's the reason they can get them to go in that little booth and confess their sins to a man. I'm glad I know who the mediator is. And I've went to him many times today. And I've talked with him. So, it's all about control. It's all about power. It's not about what the scriptures say. It's their way of control. I couldn't help but think, and some of you were there, when we went to Peru. We were in probably the poorest place I ever been in my life. It was nothing but a dirt escape. I mean, it was no grass nowhere, just a mountain of gray dirt. And all across these valleys and these sides of these mountains were these little shanties with probably maybe 4x4 walls, maybe 5x5 at the most, no roofs. And a whole village of Peruvians, I mean, thousands, across that valley. And sitting on top of that mountain, overlooking all those little shanties, sat a cathedral that was, I don't know, 3 or 4 times bigger than our church. Elaborate arts and elaborate pieces of things to see that man had given, and it set upon them as a almost like an overshadowing weight. And those people truly in the depths of their heart believed that if they didn't pay, there was not even a priest in that building. There was only a money box that they could put their money in. They drove us by graveyards where families were crying and weeping over graves of lost loved ones, believing that they needed the priest to get them out of that place called purgatory. And they didn't have the money to pay that priest, so their family couldn't get out of purgatory. You see the lie there? You see the control there of that religion? And again, a lot of it stems from this place here of what we've read here in John chapter 6. The Lord said, "You must eat my flesh and drink my blood." What he said. So what does it mean? Let's get a little more of it this evening. Look in verse 52. The Bible says, "The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat?" It's the same problem that we've dealt with in about every chapter up to this place. Christ is speaking spiritual, but they're thinking what? Physical. And that makes them strive among themselves. Can you see their anger? Can you see as Jesus is standing there telling them this? And all they understand is the physical side of something. Look at verse 53. "Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." So we have here, and to me, what a beautiful picture of what took place when I got saved. Do you see? And again, you've got to get beyond the thoughts of a physical thought. You've got to get to we've got the Bible. But do you see what Christ is telling them? Do you hear the comparison of what he just said? Look at it again. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood," notice the wording, "dwelleth in me and I in him." Then go even further. Verse 57, he gives an example. "As the living Father hath sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me." He's using the relationship that he and the Father to represent the eating of the body and the drinking of the blood. Again, it's not physical, it's spiritual. Christ is in me, and I am in him. What a reference he gives there of the Trinity, of him and Christ being one, or him and God being one. And that same relationship is what takes place when a man eats the flesh and drinks his blood. We become one with Christ. But what does it mean to do that? Verse 58. "This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this and said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" Christ here says, why does this offend you? Because again, they think he wants them to eat his flesh and drink and his blood. But then he makes the statement there. He says, what if I go to heaven? How would you eat my flesh if I'm in heaven? How would you drink my blood if I was in heaven? Verse 63, he explains the matter. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. What does quickeneth mean? To make alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. So if you walked up and grabbed the Lord's arm and chewed his arm off, his flesh would profit you nothing. That's what he says. The flesh profiteth nothing. Notice the wording. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He just answered their questions. You've got to eat and drink his flesh and his blood. The spirit is what quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Verse 66, from that time, from right then, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Why? Because they could not understand. They thought as a man would think. I think it's amazing. What verse is that? Of what chapter? What's the number of man? Y'all okay? Man cannot come to Christ thinking as a man would come. Man thinks I got to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and that's not what Christ said. And because they could not understand, because they could not take it in, they turned away and walked away, as many men do today. They try to figure it out in some way that they can touch it and feel it. They got to figure out how it works and what makes it work. It's not about faith, though, is it? But the Bible says that we live by faith, that we're saved by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians chapter 2. And not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So salvation is not of any sacrament. There was one Savior that died one time, that was buried, and that rose, and now ever liveth. Those priests continually offered those sacrifices, and it did no good. But Christ, once and for all, has died and paid for the sin of the world. And Christ here has given them that truth. Again, man wants to be able to say, I understand it, I can touch it, I can feel it. That's the reason it scares me, these people that says, you know, well, pray this prayer. It's not about praying a prayer. If you're trusting a prayer, you're trusting the wrong thing. I believe in praying, but it's not about a prayer. Let me show you one more thing and I'm done this evening. Look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And what a question. Every day that's what he's asking the world. Will you go away? I'm here. Why don't you take me? Why don't you receive me? Will you go away? Notice this. Peter. Peter's one of the most funny guys in the Bible to me. Peter's like a lot of people that I know, me sometimes. He opens his mouth and speaks way before his brain kicks in. But Peter here lined up. The pitch was thrown. He timed it right, and it went out of the park. Look what he says. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter got it. Peter understood that it's your word, and we believe that you are that word, and we believe that you're the Son of God, and that's what gives eternal life. Peter understood that it was the words of eternal life. So Jesus Christ again says, if you must eat the flesh and drink the blood. And people all over the world, probably even some today, stood before a man that claimed that he could pray and a piece of wafer would turn into the flesh of Christ. That's pretty gross, isn't it? I don't like that bloody religion. But you're going to believe you just eat flesh? Sort of weird, isn't it? Peter understood what Christ had just showed them here in chapter 6. There was a bread of life. It was Him. And if we take Him and believe in Him, we will never die. That's how simple it is. And that's what Christ just showed them there in John chapter 6. So, all right, let's stand together this evening.